I'm a bit intimidated by the previous presentations, but I'm supported by the strong experience of the Tuscany group, and I'm very satisfied that many concepts do overlap. Even Marchisio presented. He presented a process. Our colleagues from the Manchester group presented their own procedure, their own system. The University of Harvard did something very similar. There are many points in common, many similarities. So there are differences in peculiar, in details and specific aspects. That are typical of given geographical contexts and situations, but there are also many points in common.
Inizia la storia del gruppo toscano. La storia del gruppo.
So what's the story of the Tuscany group? Everything started back in July 1998. I wasn't there in those days. I joined the group later on, but I immediately understood how important it was to work in a network, and most of all with this kind of philosophy. In July 1998, something really important happened. And the regions had the task to put up this regional group of quality and emergency departments that would pool together the various hospitals in order to fill in a legal gap. There was a law decree dating back to 1996 saying that in emergency departments there had to be a function called triage to be carried out by appropriately skilled and trained nurses who would apply protocols established by physicians, but he didn't say how. So, and I make a step backward, the region provided an input to this group with a very clear mandate. The task was to identify an integrated organizational model that could be applied to the whole region. So, we sat down to work. We reviewed the literature, as Marchesi said, it did also. We did some benchmarking activities, and we also studied those centers, those cities where triage existed and was carried out, and we came up with our own process. The Tuscany model is focuses on signs and symptoms, so nurses are perfect for that, because nurses are called to be there to carry out an assessment, which is part of a nurse's job, because nurses are called to identify, detect signs and symptoms. And this is obviously very important for the whole nursing profession, as it empowers nurses with a greater decision-making capacity and promotes their ability to identify signs and symptoms and make decisions. Of course, this has a very strong impact on the organization, because nurses are not only there to assess signs and symptoms, but they also need to refer the patient to the appropriate ward. So triage is considered as a clinical organizational activity. It provides clarity to users, as it gives a priority code, informs users, and users, patients, know how long he or she will have to wait and where. The decision-making process is very similar to the problem-solving process, which is something that we fully understand and embrace as a concept, because detecting signs and symptoms, collecting data to produce a possible decision and then apply the decision, this takes us back to the classical definition of problem solving. As to the priority codes, we're talking about priority codes and not acuity codes or severity codes. The difference is not semantic, it's not in the meaning. These are two totally different things. A priority code is an admission or incoming code. That is, nurses look at science and say, it gives a priority. A severity code is an outgoing code, which the physician gives after, after a given workup, after a given treatment. So we focus on priority and priority code because this is what nurses do when the patient comes in, when he or she is admitted. The steps of the process guarantee homogeneity to the final decision. And the process is supported by the guidelines, which we prefer than to protocols, because there are protocols are more rigid, less flexible, and these therapeutic indications will be translated into flow charts, but they still remain indications for treatment. As to the process, well, I'll repeat a bit what I said before. It is not that much different from the processes described so far. So it implies immediate on-the-door assessment and identification of the major problem, the reason why the person came to the emergency department, assessment of the emergency indicators, and I'll talk about it later, targeted and guided clinical history. For instance, if we have an elderly patient who feels like talking about his experience in the Second World War, we might sit and listen to him for ages. So we got to have a well-structured interview and guided interview in order to collect the data we are interested in. Vital signs, vital parameters, and reassessment. On-the-door assessment or immediate assessment, I won't repeat how important this assessment is. It comes first. How important it is to assess A, B, C, D. And this may be well enough to assign a code. All right. No breathing, no pulses is enough to give a red code. Now the problem aims at finding out the major problem. Once ABCD has been done, let's look for the major problem. And this is done by detecting signs and symptoms, which may help a lot, may integrate the acuity indicators or emergency indicators, which are pain, sweating, paleness, bleeding, and vomiting. These are not enough to determine a priority code, but they are ancillary elements to define a code. Certainly, pain is paramount, and it's particularly important because most people coming to the emergency department have pain. So it's something which is observed depending on its location, on its intensity, localization, type of pain. In particular, in terms of intensity of pain, what is the best way to identify and assess pain in an objective way? We haven't invented anything new. We try to make a targeted assessment based on a VAS scale from 0 to 10, where 0 is absence of pain and 10 is the highest, the most intense pain. And the patient, the user, must tell us how he feels according to that scale. Of course, there are many factors to be considered. The pain threshold, tolerance to pain, culture, race. For instance, I'll make a couple of two examples. A Chinese man has a very low pain threshold, unlike an Albanian who has, it's the other way around. The Chinese has a very high threshold and the Albanian has a very low one. When a Chinese says he feels some pain, maybe it's a 15 score on the pain scale. I was talking about guided and directed clinical history, and we do so thanks to a system we did not invent, but is a great help, which is called AMPLE. So we assess, we ask the patient what kind of allergies, if any, he or she has, the kind of medication he's taking. He's been taking, or especially the medications that were taken just before coming to the emergency department, which may help us in making a decision, in giving a code, and in providing a therapy. Known pathologies, pathognosies, and last meal and events, which if the event is very important, especially for the victims of a car crash, as this may determine priority code. Not for many, but for some patients, it's also important to measure the vital parameters, vital signs, which especially in those patients with a low priority code, where we do not expect any great variation and from the range values in terms of heart rate, respiratory rate, temperature. Priority code. This is introduced the fifth code, which is regulated by a decision made by the Regional Council in 2001, and there's a new code that is locating between the green and the white, because we believe there is a need of a further sorting out, further selection of those low priority patients who in terms of quantity are more frequent, more numerous in the emergency department.
Poniamo l'accento su quella che è la
Let's consider reassessment. Triage is not over when the priority code is given, but it is over when the patient enters the examination room. So we have a periodic reassessment. If the green code is coming in 30 minutes, that means that in 60 minutes he or she will have to be reassessed. Or when the his or her conditions do change. So this is the schematic representation of the decision-making process. There is the on-the-door assessment. If one of the vital signs is absent, a red code is given. If all vital signs are present, but there is a threat, an imminent threat that one of them may give up, then we give a yellow code. Or we do what we said before, that is, we collect, we have a guided and directed collection of data, we identify symptoms, we do the ample, and of course, this may take us back to a yellow code, not the red code, because we would have seen them immediately, but we may have a yellow code. For instance, the event is very important, especially in road accidents. The problem is acute, but it's not life-threatening, so that's a green code. The problem is not acute, it's not life-threatening, but objectively it is there, it is present. So we need to give a blue code. The problem is not life-threatening, it's acute, it's not objectivable, so it can only be white. The Tuscany medal is different from the one presented by Marchesio. They are different, most of all, because we have introduced this blue code, and also because we focused our attention on the cases we had. We realized that the green code could not, as we'll see later on, could not represent a certain number of users, of patients, and we realized that it was necessary to have a further breakdown of that code. The territory, the region, the field is different. The field setting is different from the hospital setting. The situations are different. So we may have four codes for community-based or field triage, but in our model we have five codes. So from the working group to working in groups and in a network. So we are now with this model is adopted by the whole region thanks to a continuous contact we have, thanks to a network that puts together operators, resources, assets. You see here in Careggio there are five codes, and Oxford in Rome has four codes, and you see the rate of green codes in both cases, in both hospitals. So we wonder whether it was possible to, how could it pass with all those green codes in Rome had the same priority? We said that's not possible, we thought, and that's why we introduced the blue code. It's very important to talk about triage at regional level, because this is where it is easier to share problems and solutions. There is a greater attention by politicians, policymakers, to the opinions of professionals, of technicians, of those who work on the field day in, day out. And of course, I would like to stress the last point. In Italy, there are still some limitations. There is no uniformity at national level. There is no single triage model. And these comparisons, these exchanges might probably help adopting a single national triage model. I would like to close by quoting this, say that we've done a lot but we still have a long way to go. There will be many obstacles on the way, but obstacles are there to be overcome. Thank you.